Blog Talk Radio.
Good morrow, and welcome back to The Realm. I am epic fantasy author J.V. Hillier, your friendly neighborhood scribe, and for those marking your first adventure into my realm, this is a vast and sweeping domain where I feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis, specialize in a plethora of different art forms. And tonight we have an author named Miles Wagner. We'll get into him in a second, but as always, if you like what you hear, you can find me and my epic and dark fantasy books at jvhilliard.com or follow me at jvhilliardbooks on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or look for me as just as JV Hilliard on Facebook and or Discord. And I want to thank our longtime sponsor, Altered Reality Magazine. And for those of you who haven't checked out Altered Reality, simple to find, alteredrealitymag.com. And they are an epic speculative fiction and speculative poetry magazine, and they'll feature a number of new poets and new authors in things like sci-fi and fantasy and dystopian. If you like horror or the gothic, you'll find stuff about monsters and cryptids. It's really some crazy stuff over there. A number of those folks that are featured in the magazine are also featured on this show, so go check it out at alteredrealitymagazine.com. And so as we reach the witching hour, I'm going to cast my magic spell here and take control of the airwaves of Blog Talk Radio. So set your sundials and let's enter the realm together. Today we'll be chronicling the adventures of a fellow speculative fiction scribe, Miles Wagner. Miles is an author. He's also a castle buff like me. And we're going to get into his saga here as we roll out, and he's rolling out too. And Miles, well met, and welcome to the realm.
Hey, thanks for having me here. I'm excited.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. Tell our listeners about you and what you write and where they can find you.
Yeah, so first and foremost, I'm a dad living the dad life. I've got three little ones under the age of 12. A lot of wrestling, a lot of ninja fighting, a lot of sword fighting. So I've been honing my art around sword fighting. Maybe that might make its way into a book one day. But outside that, I enjoy writing on the side. I write whenever I can, usually really early mornings. And I've just recently published my first debut book that's around fantasy, epic fantasy, and it's kind of like, I don't know, mixing up Wheel of Time, Harry Potter type stuff, Name of the Wind type stuff. So yeah, it's been a fun adventure.
You know, you mentioned it right off the top about your family, and a lot of authors have families and they balance things back and forth. How have you had this work-life balance? How's it worked out for you? I know in my perspective, I didn't even start writing until COVID. You know, the silver lining in that was I actually had a chance to write stuff that's been bouncing around in my head for 20 years. And, you know, it was in the professional realm. And then I transitioned over to doing this. But how does someone like you that balances, you know, work life with, you know, home life and young kids find time to write? I know you said you kind of squeeze it in there in the morning, but how have you been able to do it and how's it working for you?
Yeah, you know, so writing a book was like a bucket list item for me. And we mentioned castles, right? I love castles. So I had the opportunity to take a work trip over to the UK. And when I was over there, I'm like, I'm going to sit down and make myself write. So when I was over there, after I did the work stuff, I got to travel a little bit, visit some castle ruins. And I said, at night when I go to the hotel, I'm going to make myself write. So that was when I really seriously sat down to do it. That was maybe, I don't know, about a year ago. And then after that, when I got home, the only time I could actually carve out to myself was before everybody got up. I like to say that I'm better in the morning. I kind of get dumber as the day goes on. So I would wake up, I don't know, at 4 a.m. and write for like an hour and a half or so. And then, you know, then the kids wake up and get their routine going. And then I start work around 7:30. So it's really just carving out that time super early.
Have you, when you do that, I mean, do you find, like for me, do you have an author habit that gets you into the flow? Like I listen to some music, and depending on the kind of scenes I'm writing, that music will change, right? Like if I have a romance scene, I'm not going to listen to, you know, Five Finger Death Punch. But if I'm writing a battle scene, I might listen to Metallica, right? You know, so, you know, do you have any kind of prompts that get you to do that? You have a cup of coffee, you know, you do it by candlelight. I mean, do you have any strange stuff? I know. Yeah, and I have to say this because a lot of our listeners are both readers and they're authors, and so I know that's something that'll pique their curiosity. If you've got something like that, you want to share?
Yeah, I'm a big Game of Thrones fan, so usually I will put it on the background. So you know, I have that Alexa app and or whatever you say, put the soundtrack on, Pandora, whatever. So I'll pull that up. Or sometimes it's Lord of the Rings that has a great soundtrack as well. And that's usually what I have playing on the background, and particularly when I'm editing. I mean, I almost have to have one of those things on when I'm editing, just kind of help me kind of focus and think about where I am.
Yeah, I'm the same way. You know, I music prompts me, those shows prompt me. I actually have on my iTunes, in some of my I've got things I use to work out. I also, things that inspire. And so I've got these like little tracks and Game of Thrones. And some of, I have this really weird, I forget which composer it was. It's not necessarily the theme song to it, but it's the song about the Lannisters. Gets me in the mood. The Reigns of Castamere, man. And it's just, I listen to that. I'll listen to a few others that are like that. I mean, Lord of the Rings, sometimes it's like either super depressing or super epic, right? And you're like, instrumental stuff affects people different ways and things like that. But I'm glad you and I are on the same page with the Game of Thrones stuff. I think that's pretty cool. But let's talk a little bit about your novels. Let's talk about Castlestone. Let's talk about the saga. Where are you in it, and are you happy with the progress that you're making? When can we expect any kind of big announcements from you? Where are you in your work in progress?
Yeah, so I'm a planner by nature. So I sat down, mapped out the beginning and the end, and I said, well, how long is it going to take me to get there? So I'm thinking it's going to take between 6 and 9 books. So I finished the first, and about a third of the way through the second one. I was hoping to get the next one out sometime in October. So I'm thinking between October and end of the year, there'll be an announcement that, the second one will be out, probably do one of those cover reveals and all that kind of stuff. I've got a great partner for folks on TikTok. I've got a great partner. Her name is Southern Mother of Dragons, and she does some great cosplay. And so she's taken me under her wing and helped teach me the ancient arts of social media. And so I really enjoy kind of being part of her crew.
Well, I got to say this. I mean, social media is a godsend for authors. It's something I didn't participate in at all, and for a variety of reasons. One is I have a kind of a touchy, professional career that social media didn't comport with real well. So I've always stayed away from it. But also what I found as my authorship grew, that social media is a great platform, and it's free. It's earned media, right? The only cost of it is the time you put into it to promote yourself and things like that. So I'm glad that you took that path too. I was going to ask you about that, but I know that social media is a place where some people do really well and other people shy away from. It sounds to me like you're embracing the whole thing and getting your Padawan training getting done by Southern Mother of Dragons, or how's that working?
I'm embracing my inner goofball, and I've been dressing up and doing some cosplay. So I love holidays. I love doing holidays with the kids. They usually make a big deal about it. We usually throw holiday parties. St. Patrick's Day is one of my favorites, but also Halloween. Love Halloween. So I've been honing a outfit for Halloween for the past 5 years. It's like a steampunk time-traveling wizard. So I've been able to use that as my, presence on social media. And then I've also tried to correlate it to a character that's been brewing in this universe for some time. So I'm actually naming that character Master Miles and assuming that identity when I put it on.
That's funny, and I'm glad you mentioned steampunk because, I think a lot of folks that read fantasy and or sci-fi find themselves either loving or hating the steampunk stuff. But I will say this. You do something in your novels that I try to do very lightly and around the edges, and that's incorporate a little bit of sci-fi, maybe a little bit of that steampunky stuff in there that gives it a little bit of an edge. And the reason I did it was, to be honest with you, I got sick of fantasy that never advanced. Nothing against Tolkien. He's the granddaddy of them all, or Game of Thrones. I mean, Jon Snow was the 999th whatever on the wall. Right. So you mean to tell me he's still using a sword, and they've got horses and that's it. I mean, they get an armor and that's as far as they can go. They have spells and they've got dragons and all this other stuff. is so for me, I created a magical city myself where it was a scholarly city where there was advancements. And they use a Dungeons and Dragons term. It's like an artificer city where you could find these things.
Yeah.
And I use that as sort of like a cue from James Bond where, you know, something was advanced enough that it helps the good guys beat the bad guys or helps the bad guys gain an advantage over the good guys. And so that's a little bit of that. You do that a little bit too. Explain to me how you've been able to weave that into your novels while staying true to heart of being, a fantasy author.
Yeah. Awesome. So I love to hear how you've done it as well. So what I've tried to weave in the big bad guy, he's touched upon lightly in the first book and I dive into him more in the next one, but the first book is really about the main character, you know him, but the bad guy, you find out later that he's really about information suppression. So he's actually impeded technology progression. But meanwhile, he's still doing it in his workshops, right? So there are glimpses of it across the realm. But in the main magic school, it's called Castlestone Academy, there are a few engineers that still do that. And they have it reminds me a little bit like, I don't know if you read Name of the Wind.
I have, Rothfuss, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Love that. And so it kind of, you know, Master Kilvin, I think he has his own like shop and in quote goes, works for him for a while. So it has that engineer type feel. And what I have going on is one of the main characters actually, they lose their hand. And then you'll see later that someone rebuilds them a mechanical, like a biomechanical / magical hand. And this other dude, he wears a special pair of glasses that do special things. I don't want to say what it does yet, but you'll find out later in the next book that it does some cool things that hasn't been released yet. So I try to build some of that in there. And I mentioned the power, steam powered stuff that, you know, it's referencing to trains, that technology has been suppressed. So yeah, I try to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So if you asked me, I mean, I've done a little bit of the same thing. Mine came from my career as a defense lobbyist. I got a chance to, you know, sneak a peek in, you know, behind some of the curtains at Pentagon and on the Hill and at the White House. And so I saw stuff that was, you know, really advanced that, you know, people don't even know are available. And, you know, obviously can't talk about much of that stuff, but it was enough to inspire me to put it in my book. So my abacus, which was the city that I described before, the scholarly city, was sort of a mix between a university and the Pentagon, where they're literally digging this stuff up and making it. And I too, like you, I had a character who was poisoned, and this poison was inflicted in his leg, and they had to amputate his leg. And the scholars of Abacus rebuilt his leg, which at first was very clunky, but then because of some things that happened and through the magics of the realm, it's now, you know, sort of like his superpower. He's got this, you know, this, and, you know, in my fourth and final book, he can literally kick through walls with it and stuff like that. It's pretty, pretty cool stuff. It has a superhero kind of play to it, but I did sprinkle a little magic on that. And speaking of magic, I know all of us have to kind of create our own magic systems. I kind of lean on sort of a Dungeons and Dragons-esque kind of thing where there are wizards that are, they're learned magic. There are sorcerers that, you know, is like this imbued magic that they're born with. And then there's divine magic where, you know, magic that's imbued upon, you know, the followers and servants rather of certain gods and goddesses and things like that. And so I kind of borrowed inspiration from, you know, 20 years of gameplay there and then made it my own. You know, I twisted it around, made, you know, sort of different spells and the way things happen and things like that. How have you created in your world building your own magic systems? I mean, how has that worked for you? Did you make it simple? Did you make it complex? And is it super unique or is it something that everyone will find a familiar blend to?
Oh, yes. I'm so glad. Yes. This is one of the things that I enjoy thinking about the most. Like, so before I sat down to really write, I wanted to come up with something that was different, but also felt, you know, I could see this from other things. So I drew heavily upon the ideas of like Wheel of Time and the visualizations of flow. But I also borrowed from the Marvel Universe and Doctor Strange. So if you think about like whenever he would do spells or something, you'd see like these astral light things spinning around, had a lot of really interesting geometries. And then who else did I borrow from? Sort of Truth. They get into what they call, like, you know, constructs, and have a lot of patterns and math. So I think what I tried to blend a lot of those, my favorite elements together, and do this system where it uses an old language, which is what is now modern, you know, what we would think of as like runes and Viking runes. And I think it's actually called like Elder Futhark runes. And that's the old language, dragon language. And then you map that onto a 3D structure, and then different 3D structures yield different outcomes. It's almost thinking like Dungeons and Dragons, like the different spell classes or Skyrim. And then you write the spell in runes onto this 3D structure, and you do it like mentally, and you project it out in front of you, kind of like how Doctor Strange would in like light. And then once the spell's done, you kind of ignite it. And then I try to tie it back to like chemistry type things. Like one of the fundamental laws is, you know, energy cannot be created or destroyed. So where do you get energy for these spells or constructs or magic to happen? The idea is that you pull it from the multiverse. So in a nearby sunverse or universe, that whatever you're thinking about or trying to make it actually exist. So you're borrowing it or stealing it from somewhere else and pulling it into where you are. So I blended a bunch of things together, but a lot of math, a lot of I say it's kind of complex and hard. So I blended that together, and bam, there you go. There's this crazy, weird magic system.
Well, you know, that's interesting you say that, because I know that thematically there's a number of systems that use it. Like, hey, I'm pulling water from someplace to create a tidal wave here, but now it's dry and barren somewhere else, right? Like, I think that's you know, it's not like you're creating something, but borrowing something, or you're stealing something. And that's cool too. But the way you describe it, it has sort of like an ancient arcane thing, and it does maybe tie back to, something that's esoteric, something that's really hard to get your hands around. And that's why I like, creating these things. I mean, world building is just a fun, it's a fun assignment when you're writing your own books. I don't mind it at all. And that way you can make something that's uniquely your own. But I do have to say this. I have patterned some of the stuff in my books, especially some of the castles and some of the battles, around things that happened in real life. And some of that comes from my travels and visitations. And you'll see where I'm going with this in a second, but I actually wrote a scene where someone gets murdered and stuffed down a privy in a castle. And oh. I had to research how a privy in a castle worked. To figure that out. And I went to a castle and saw how it worked and how it would have worked back in, you know, the Middle Ages, where it would dump into some sort of like a cistern or a well or a little river, and how they would clean it and stuff like that. And that's how they eventually found the body. You as a castle buff, and we'll get into your castles in a little bit when we get into our lightning round, but you as a castle buff, have you used anything you've seen in your travels in real life, whether it was for a battle scene you wrote, or, you know, you found inspiration in something in real life, a castle or castles or something within a castle that you've baked into your novels?
Yeah, totally. So the sites and locations of the book are actual castles in modern day United Kingdom. So the main castle, Castle Stone, that's what it's called. Real original there, right? But that one is actually the castle in London. And then there are several other castles that are focal points that the main character will travel to in the next few books that he needs to do something at these various sites. And the first castle that the reader encounters is Chepstow Castle. And it's a real castle in Wales. My geography is very poor, but it's somewhere over in the United Kingdom. I don't know if it's on the border of Wales or in Wales, but that's where a lot of the action happens. And it's based off of a trip there where I had the opportunity to walk around and take a bunch of pictures. And it has this beautiful cliff on the edge of it. So there's some pertinent things happen in the second book that I'm trying to be careful not to spoil stuff. But yeah, so I love using the exact sites as main places in the book.
So did you? I mean, it sounds to me like you did find some inspiration in that. Have you used like history or any kind of battle scenes or any religions or any folklore and taken inspiration from that and baked it into the novels as well? Or is all your stuff brand new, unique to your world, et cetera, et cetera?
All the battles are unique. It's like in an alternate reality of what Wales would look like now, but it's still kind of in medieval times, right? It's not like present day. So a lot of the battles, I think, are between man versus dragon, and at least I talk about it. And there's like an ongoing war behind the scenes that is also suppressed. But, yeah, I think most of it's just made up, fictitious. I don't really pull a lot from any main religion yet. You know, I really like how Game of Thrones, they brought in, like, you know, different cultures and viewpoints. I don't know if I'm smart enough to do that, but I would like to think that I might be able to pull in some kind of a religion maybe later on, but it's not right now it's not a focal point.
That's cool. Well, look, we're coming to the end of our show, and so I always like to play a round of what I call a lightning round with all of our guests, ask you some questions. Some of them might catch you off guard, and those are the fun ones. Others are going to be softballs just to kind of get you started. But I always find it interesting that you know, when you kind of catch people off guard, what they say and what they don't say. So yeah. Are you ready to enter the lightning round, my friend?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. So I'm going to start you off with a softball. In the real world, what is your favorite castle?
Well, my favorite one is probably Chepstow, but or maybe Carnarvon is a tough one. Carnarvon.
Yeah, I'd have to say my wife and I, when we got married, we went to we stayed in Borthwick and Dalhousie castles in Scotland, visited a handful in England, and then we went to go see my family in Munich. And we saw when we went to Neuschwanstein Castle. I mean, it's hard to beat that one, brother. That's so high
that's
up
Disney
in the Alps.
Castle.
And it is the Disney Castle. It is so beautiful. You know, it wouldn't let you stay at that one, but we ended up staying. The one in Dalhousie was just fantastic. I mean, I would recommend it highly. It was modernized, so it was a lot of fun. Borthwick was very medieval, and it's not made for guys that are 6'4". Like, you know, you just can't fit into the door so well there. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Well, as a traveler and someone who's been in the UK, do you have a favorite place to go while you're there?
You know, usually I fly into London, and then so the last round I flew into London, and then I rented a car. I drove on the wrong side of the road and went all along the coast of Wales, and it was amazing. I like visiting like really old castle sites. I picked Chepstow as like my favorite castle ruins, but Carnarvon is a castle where you could like basically walk in almost every room, and it's like, you know, it's not ruinous, right? And but it's huge, and it's just a beautiful, amazing. It's got some great history. So, but I visited 25 castles over, like, 6 days. It was an amazing trip. And I'm thinking about going back either this year or next year and then tackle the East Coast. One of the big castles I want to see, it's called Bodiam. It's in the southeast part of the UK. That's probably number one on my list that I have to hit.
I'll tell you what, you and I are going to have to exchange pictures. I'll send you a Google Drive invite. We'll exchange the pictures and see what you've seen, and I'll show you what I've seen. So next question, though, and I ask this of almost every guest, best money that you've ever spent as an author and why?
Oh, money that I've ever spent. Oh, so I'm still a newbie at this thing, right? So I'd say since November, December, that's when I officially published. Best money I spent. Probably Canva. I got the subscription. I rekindled some of my earlier digital days. Like, you know, back in college, I ran a side business where I was doing like digital yearbooks. I turned in web products and making digital videos. So I then for my buddies, we used to do like fake, you know, Star Wars mock-ups. But, you know, I got a lot of practice in Photoshop and that. So Canva's been great. I highly recommend it to folks. I think it's actually relatively cheap. You get it almost $15 a month for like a subscription. I think it's the best money I spent.
That's cool. All right, some fun ones now. Tyrion Lannister or Tywin Lannister?
Tyrion.
Oh. Tywin such a badass, though, right? Is he not the world's best villain?
Yeah, well, he is a badass. He's, he is the most powerful man in the realm, right? And he controls all the money. But I don't know. I'm a bit of a nerdy academic myself, so I appreciate Tyrion in his learning and keeping his mind sharp. I'm trying to think of one of his favorite. He drinks and knows things, so I can appreciate that.
Gotcha. All right, next one. Jon Snow or Daenerys Targaryen?
Wow. Well, I'm probably going to be Dany because, she is the mother of dragons and I am obsessed with dragons. so, yeah, I'm going to go Dany.
Yeah, she's smoking hot. It doesn't hurt.
That's right.
Gotcha. So you're invited to a lunch with one other author, and they could be living or dead. Who would they be and why would you invite them?
Oh, Michael Crichton. I really love
that
his
one.
Books.
I did not expect.
Yeah, see, there's the science geek in me.
Uh-huh.
I love his Jurassic Park and how he blended science and kind of futuristic thinking. So, unfortunately he has passed away, but I would probably want to just sit down and BS with him. And he wrote another really, really interesting book, Travels, got a little bit kind of metaphysical. So I always thought it would always be cool to like just pick his brain and see what it was thinking when he was writing that.
Well, look, we're coming to the end here. So I got one more for you. There's a library and it's on fire and you rush in to help and you can only save one book and that book can't be one of yours. Which book would it be and why?
Name of the Wind. I love
back to Rothfuss.
I love that book. It's Rothfuss. I love that book. I could read that over and over again. It's probably one of my favorite books of all time.
Yeah, everybody's got one. For me, it's the Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, Fellowship. I would pick that one every day because it's the beginning of the quest, and it's the one where I feel like it pulls you into everything else. So I get it. So it's okay. Well, look, we're coming to the end of our time together. But before I let you go, let everybody know one more time where they can find your stuff and where they can buy your books.
Yeah, great. Thanks again for having me. So if folks are interested in, kind of Harry Potter-ish, rekindling some of that magic, Wheel of Time, you can find Castle Stone Ascension on Amazon. I think I've recently priced it for 99 cents special for the next few weeks as we do a relaunch of this new cover. And, you can find me on TikTok. I try to put together some fun videos and use some art and do scenes from the book. So happy to make friends over there.
Well, Miles, thanks again for coming on the show, and thanks again to our sponsor, alteredrealitymag.com. If you haven't checked it out and you like speculative fiction or speculative poetry, I would recommend it highly. You're going to find award winners over there from like Pushcart all the way down to first-time authors finding their first portal of publication. Love it. Support it. Go and check it out. Miles, again, thank you very much for being on The Realm.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, and to my followers, thanks again for lending us your ear today. And until next time, I am JV Hilliard, and may your gods go with you. Thanks, Miles.